Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandalyn Stokes right here on News and Talk with 1380 WAOK on this wonderful day. Let's now check in. We've got another special guest sharing with us today, inviting you to join this conversation, 404-892-2703. We want to welcome the executive director of Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing. It is a center for racial healing, and we want to discuss with our special guest, Dr. Catherine Meeks, who is executive director here, what is white privilege and how does it affect our health? A pleasant good morning, Dr. Meeks. How are you?
I am so well. And how are you today?
I am well. Thank you so much for joining us again. It's always a pleasure to have you to share with us in conversation. We appreciate and value your wisdom and your insight. And so let's get this started. Is there any such thing as white privilege, or is this something that we are just making up?
No, we're not making it up, I'm sorry to say. And let me also say thank you for asking me back again. I love the way you conduct your show and deeply appreciate the depth of it. And thank you for including me in it.
Thank you.
And I want to, the white privilege, first of all, is something that has come out around the notion of white supremacy. So, you know, we set up this country believing that white people were on the basis that white people were better than anybody else. And so the native people were killed off, the Africans were made slaves, and we constructed everything around that paradigm. So if you have white skin, period, you are considered to be in a privileged class, in a privileged category, because white is better. And those, anybody who's lived here more than a half a minute and paid any attention knows that that's the way we've constructed the country. Now, it's not right, and it's what we've been struggling against and battling to change. But white people, you know, many white people will say, I don't have any privilege because I grew up poor, my family struggled, or we worked hard for everything we got. All of that may be very true, but you, when you walk out the door with white skin in the United States of America, you are considered better than somebody who doesn't have white skin. That is the essence of what white privilege is. Now, the rest of it, you know, you get ahead, you get opportunities, you get things constructed to favor you. All of that comes with it, and you may or may not feel that you had access to all of that. But you, first of all, started with your white skin, which gave you a leg up. Whether you use it or not, or how you use it, is a different conversation.
How does capitalism play into this, or if it does?
Well, you know, capitalism is just another way to continue that notion of some people being better than somebody else, and the folks who've got the power and the opportunity can advance better than those who don't have it. And so we, black and brown people, haven't been given access to those resources that help you to gain wealth and grow and thrive in the capitalist world because of the hierarchical nature of it. So it plays in it. It's like a twin, you know, going right on down the road, reinforcing it and helping it. And that's part of what makes it so complicated, because we mix all this stuff together, and then we mix religion in it, and so then we just have ourselves a real mess, which is what we have.
All right, so you're saying we've got this white privilege, a white supremacy. You talked about capitalism, but what about colonialism? Does that factor into this white privilege mindset?
I think, in the 1400s, well, actually the 15th century, when Europeans showed up in this region, they found Native people here working and living and having a culture and doing all kinds of things. They decided they weren't worthy. So they engaged in a practice of genocide that reduced them. There were probably 100 million of them here, and they've been reduced to about 10 million. So that's a statement about the attitude of those coming to colonize the new land. You know, nobody was here. I mean, they discovered it. All of that stuff is a part of this notion of supremacy and privilege. You come and find people functioning, and you don't understand how to talk to them or be with them. So you just say they don't exist, and then you proceed to kill them so that they don't exist. And then you say, well, you know, God sent us out to subdue the land. I mean, they had edicts from the Pope to come and do that kind of stuff. So it's such a deep root system, and people want to just stand up in the 21st century, white people, and say, well, I didn't own any slaves and I didn't have anything to do with that, so I don't have any responsibility. Well, the truth is you can't get off of it just that easy, because it's deeply grounded in everything we do. And it started with when the first Europeans set foot on land here and declared that there was nobody here. Mm-hmm. You know, because they did find people. And then you start doing all these things to defend that indefensible position of the folks here are not worthy, so we can do what we want to them. We can kill them off, and whatever horrible things we come up with to do that, it will be okay, because after all, we're the ones that are supposed to really be here. So that's the colonial notion, you know, all over the world, actually, has been grounded in that. And it's the same spirit. You know, the thing of it is that it's everywhere. Anywhere people want to denigrate other people and marginalize them and put people into boxes on the basis of the color of their skin, it's the same spirit that's doing that. And Europeans have been the ones who've done that more. I mean, other people have done it some to a lesser degree. But, you know, we're just talking about the United States right now. So here, we have done it. We constructed all of our systems on that same notion of supremacy. We colonized the United States. I mean, the land that was here was filled up with people. And the native people, you know, you can't find them unless you go to a reservation somewhere. And when you think about what that was like to come into somebody else's house and run them off and take their land and put them off somewhere. I mean, who do you think you are? Right. You have to think that you've got some privilege in the universe that's different from the folks you just decided to treat that way. So it's so deeply ingrained in the...
Yes, it is, Dr. Miggs. And so do you think there's any such thing among Europeans as unconscious bias?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. I think that there's unconsciousness about a lot of stuff. You know, I've spent 50 years of my life working, trying to work on my own capacity to be prejudiced. I'm not trying to kill anybody, but everybody has something you've got to work on. I mean, I'm not trying to say that. Mm-hmm. But there is this sense of, you know, the most silence I have in a workshop is when I ask white people to tell me, what does it mean to be white? You know, because they have never even really had to think about that, because it's to be in charge of the world. It's to have reality be constructed to suit you. You know, it's your world. It's your everything. It's like somebody said, it's like asking a fish what is water, you know, because it can't tell you. It's where I live. It's the oxygen I breathe. So see, that's unconscious. You don't have to be conscious. Whereas Black people and brown people and native people have to be conscious about all this stuff in order to survive. I mean, we don't have the luxury of walking around acting like we don't know what's going on if we want to survive. And you don't have to do that if you're a white person. You can just decide to just walk through the earth on the earth, assuming that everything's going to be what it's supposed to be for you. There's a sense of entitlement that comes with privilege that is out there. And some of it's unconscious and some of it is not. I mean, some of it is clearly people thinking that's what they deserve because their skin is white.
Right, right. We'll be back. Let's go to break. Feel free to join the conversation. Here's the number, 404-892-2703. We're speaking with Dr. Catherine Meeks, who's Executive Director of Absalon Jones Center for Racial Healing. We're talking about what is white privilege and how does it affect our health? More of this conversation when we continue. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes for News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. Right here, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Dr. Catherine Meeks, Executive Director of Absalon Jones Center for Racial Healing. What were your thoughts, and what are your thoughts, about the riot that happened on January the 6th at the Capitol?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, incredibly unfortunate and sad. Mm. And those people there doing all that stuff are very much people that are on the wrong page, clearly, and they were ginned up by the Trump, who could care less about them, and they don't even have a capacity to understand that. But, you know, they were so indicative of what's been going on in this country for since its beginning, that is, pitting people against each other. And so, you know, they I just think that, well, let me just be clear. They all need to go to prison. That's the first thing I have to say.
Okay, okay.
Because if you break the law that way, if you are willing to desecrate any property anywhere, you need to be held accountable for it. So they all need to go to prison. But they all need to also understand that we live here together and that one of our major jobs as human beings on this planet is to learn how to live together. And so if you think that you can just go tear down everything because you don't want to be with people that don't look like you and talk like you and think like you, that's not one of your choices. And so there are consequences for that. So it was unsettling to me. It made me sad. They do need to go to jail. I'm clear about that. But it's also very indicative of just how much work we've got to do to try to create a land where we can all live together. Because, I mean, where are we going? We're not going to get to all relocate and out of space.
Right,
so we're
right.
going to have to figure this out. And I just think that there's no denying how deep the hate and racism are in this country. And, you know, some people would like to think that Trump kind of invented that, but he didn't. All he did was take the lid off the pot that was sitting on the stove boiling, that's been boiling since day one. It's just that we managed to keep a lid on it a little bit better when we have different, you know, people in office not saying, come and be as horrible as you can be, because he gave people license to come and be as horrible as they could be. But it's not new. There's nothing new about what happened. It's nothing new about what is happening. We know that underneath all of this is this pot's been always boiling. There was never any real intention for Black people and Native people to be free in this country. Mm-hmm. And we have managed to be free and get free and stay free and thrive. So that was a disappointment to this spirit that thought it could create a place where there'd be a slave class and people would be taking care of them. Well, that's just, it didn't work out too well. That notion has not worked out too well. But there are all these efforts to have some pieces of that anyway in place. And, you know, I'm just always looking at the whole picture and thinking it's just one more piece of evidence. That whole thing at the Capitol was just one more piece of evidence about how much work we've got to do, how important it is not to get tired or think we can stop or think we're ever finished. We're not going to be finished until people are willing to be here and say, everybody's here, deserves to be here. Everybody is a beloved child of God, and I have no right to be trying to do something to make you a prisoner of some kind of way.
What do you think, Dr. Meeks, with voting and with a large percentage of African Americans going out to the polls? And let's not talk about the outcome of it, right, with Biden winning the election. But what did the increase of African Americans going to the polls, Native Americans going to the polls, what did that do to Europeans? And how did that contribute to the actions and the behaviors of white politicians and white Americans who are still enjoying that white privilege?
I think that people feel afraid that their position, their status quo, is going to be taken away. And so, you know, that's why I think that the most important thing we can do in face of all this voter suppression stuff is just keep on registering people and just vote, outvote the foolishness, you know, because there's enough of us to elect anybody anytime we ever decide that somebody we're going to elect. That's the fear. But we set this country up so that people could vote. And they've been trying ever since we started that to keep black people from voting. You know that. I mean, right, poll taxes and read the Constitution and all that foolishness. And so the notion of people becoming empowered enough to know that the most important thing you can do is go vote for somebody that's going to represent you and really be trying to make sure that your rights are protected is frightening to somebody who doesn't want you to have any rights. And so look at all the effort that's going on in the 21st century to retard voting rights for black and brown people. It's pitiful. And I would have never thought after the passing of the Voting Rights Act in the 60s that we would be even having such a conversation about voting. But here we are, like this, like we're some new republic and we've been around all these years with voting. So it's just such a, it's pitiful. It is indefensible. And it's really maddening that people are putting forth this much effort to try to keep somebody from voting, or to make it hard to vote. Mm. We should be trying to do everything we can to make it easier to vote if we really believe in democracy. But these folks don't believe in democracy. They believe in being superior and being in charge. And that's going away. You know, it's just going to, it's just not going to be the same. I mean, all this code language about make America great again and all that is really make America white again. Mm. And make us have power that we don't have to worry about losing. And the truth is, it's over. I mean, we are in a process that's going to lead to more and more empowerment in people of color. And, you know, I think that's part of what the hatred is toward Latinx people, because we're getting browner and browner in America.
Right.
And it's all about power. When you get right down to the core, it's all about power and control. And losing that power and control makes people crazy, makes people do all kinds of stuff. And we're just watching it. We're watching it play out. It's like somebody wrote this script, and we're just sitting here watching the drama. And we need to stay awake. People who, black and brown people, need to stay awake and stay together and not allow ourselves to get pitted against each other as if we're the enemy, because we're not each other's enemies.
Right, that's right. Let's go to break. Dr. Meeks sharing some wisdom and insight with us. Callers, I've got you coming up when we return right here with News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes right here, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Dr. Meeks, how does this whole idea of white privilege affect our health?
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, you know, one of the biggest ways is white people fighting against having better insurance, better health care, accessibility through things like having expanded Medicaid and all that kind of stuff. People being against that affects everybody. But, you know, because there are a lot of poor white folks in this country that are suffering as much as anybody else. But because of racism, they're against things that would be for them, which is really another part of how sad all this is. And then the other piece about it is the psychological stuff of just having to live in the world as a person of color, where there's always microaggressions and racism that you've got to factor into your daily life. The stress of that is horrible, and that contributes to disease and deterioration both physiologically and psychologically. And so, you know, racism is a detriment. I mean, more and more public health people are declaring racism is a threat to the health of the people, and that it's an epidemic. It would be, if it were like something like COVID, just think how we would be affected, because it is absolutely a contributing factor. The places where the most research has been done about that has to do with child and maternal health. And we see a lot of death and of all kinds of problems in African Americans and other women of color due to race, because they don't get the best care and all of that. That would not be happening if they were white. So it's all there, and people can look at it or not look at it, but it's there, and it's difficult to argue with the facts, and you know, which people love to try to do. When people talk about, you know, we don't know how racism is really affecting us today. Well, it's affecting our health. It's affecting us. Both white and black folks are being affected by these ideas of keeping things away, not doing better with health care accessibility, because you don't want black and brown people to benefit from that. So, you know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's really difficult to oppress somebody without being hurt yourself.
That is so true. And like you said, it is an epidemic, racism in America today. Let's go to our phone lines. I've got Todd holding for you. He has a question or comment. Go right ahead, Todd. Okay. Good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Wanderlyn. Hi, Dr. Meek.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So I'm struggling here to understand how you're drawing your conclusions, although I believe completely that white privilege exists. I also believe a false sense a white privilege exists on a higher level. Educate me on how you make your measurement as to when something is an application of white privilege versus something is the application of a false sense of white privilege by white people?
I don't know how to do that. All I know is to look at the behavior. So if somebody is behaving as if they're superior and entitled and denigrating other people, regardless of whether it's real or not, the behavior is the behavior. And so, you know, we have a system in this, all of the systems in this country, the judicial system, the political system, the education system, the economic system, all of them are set up to benefit people with white skin more than people without white skin. That's a fact. We know that. We've been struggling against that now for a whole bunch of years. So whether people, I mean, it's not true. It's not true that white people are any better than anybody else. That's a fact.
No. I'm saying it's true that the system is set up. All those systems that you mentioned are set up primarily for them.
Yes, but I'm saying you're asking me, how do you know when somebody has a false sense of their privilege versus having real privilege? Is that your question?
How do you, as an individual, in your own personal assessment of what you consider the fact, make the decision that something is a clear application of white privilege versus something is a clear application of a false sense of white privilege? Here, I'll give you an example. The dummies that ran up on the Capitol on January 6th, they had a false sense of white privilege, because people that understand that they have privilege and can prove it don't hide after the fact. They don't sneak up because they come in there, and they don't feel any real reason to move through force because they believe it's owed to them. So why move through force? You know, it's owed to us. So we're just going to walk in, and it's going to happen for us. But what these fools had done was to organize, use force, and then when it came down for the consequences that were mostly coming from white people and still are mostly coming from white people, they're hiding out. So they don't really believe they had privilege. That's a false sense of privilege. They never really believed that they had privilege, nor did they have it, because all these white people wouldn't be coming down on them.
Let me get Dr. Meeks to respond. Go right ahead, Doctor.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what they believed. What I think they believed is that Trump was, you know, that Trump was their leader and that he was going to stick up for them, and they had a right. They believed they had a right to take over the Capitol or do whatever they did. I mean, it's difficult. I wasn't in their head, so I don't know. All I can do is look at their behavior and talk about what the behavior is. I don't know what is all there are lots of factors, I think, and they've been ginned up to that stuff too. I mean, you can get people to go out and do a lot of really crazy stuff that they hadn't even really thought through, because they just, you know, it's like a crowd herd mentality. And you know that. I mean, people will go to war because somebody revs you up to go. So what we know is that they broke the law and they need to be punished. We know that for a fact. They broke the law because they thought they had the president's support and invitation to break the law. And then they found out the president was in the White House watching them and couldn't care less what happened to them. And then I guess it freaked them out. I don't really know how you can, you know, incident by incident, make that kind of differentiation that you're talking about. Maybe people just have to figure out that themselves. I don't know. But for me, I've tried to work with the whole piece. I mean, this is the system. This is how it's working. And when I see these things happening, I can name them in a certain kind of way. So I don't know if what I'm saying is helpful to you at all, but I do know, I don't have any way to know exactly. Nobody does what all was inside every one of those folks that showed up at the Capitol. We know that they were on the wrong side of right. We know that. Well, we know they were on the wrong side of standing up for anything. I mean, that's not how you do stuff in the world if you care about yourself or other people.
Well, you're saying you don't know if it's helpful to me, but it is helpful to me, because I wanted your answer to that question. So it's helpful because that's your answer.
Okay.
But here's the other question. It's the final question as well. We have an issue with classism, a very strong issue with classism in this country. And do you have an opinion on where classism comes into play amongst white people who think they have white privilege comparing themselves to other white people.
Well, they have the same problem we've got in the black community. We have an issue with classism in the black community, too, because we think your skin's lighter, you're better. If you are educated, you're better than you are if you're poor. So those are the same, you know, we learn that stuff, and we need to get over it, actually, because everybody is a beloved child of God and needs to be seen that way. So I think that, yeah, there's a lot of classism woven into the skin color stuff, and there are other things too. I mean, I taught college for nearly 40 years, and I taught a class called The Nature Manifestation of Prejudice, and we talk about ageism and ableism and all of that stuff. All those isms get woven into this, and we decide then we can put people in boxes and categories. So classism is a thread that's woven into the fabric of this society. We want to sometimes act like it's not, but it's clear that we care more about people that are educated and powerful and have money than we do people that are poor and not educated and don't have money. You know, we have set up those hierarchies, and we set it up across races. You can look at the same dynamic of classism you can find in Latinx people, Asian people, black people, probably Native people. I know less about them than I do the other groups, and white folks. So we have all bought into that. And it goes back to the question Ms. Stokes was asking me earlier about capitalism. Capitalism has helped us set up all this class structure that's still all grounded in somebody being better than somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. Somebody is better than somebody else, and the reason why you're better is this. You've got money, you're educated, you're white, you're black, all of those categories yeah. are indefensible. We're all human beings on this earth. And if, unless you believe in a bunch of gods that made a whole lot of different kinds of people, I believe in one God that made everybody, and that everybody is beloved, and we have no right to mistreat anybody for any reason. That is the philosophy that I hold, and it stands in the face of this trying to set up hierarchies and decide some people are better than other people.
I love it. Dr. Catherine Meeks, Executive Director of Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing. We'll be back with more callers. I've got you coming. 404-892-2703. We'll be back with more right here at News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Dr. Catherine Meeks, let's go back to our phone lines. I've got Gideon holding. Hi, Gideon. Welcome to the conversation. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stokes, Dr. Meeks. It's an honor to speak to you again. Thank you, for Dr. Stokes, for taking my call. How are you today, madam?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. You know, I have a simple question in reference to our people and white privilege, and I think we have to look through the prism of conquered and conqueror in order to get the right understanding of our condition in this country. And if I remember our last conversation correctly, you are a biblical enthusiast as I am. And if you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were told that the land that they were going to conquer was Canaan, that they ended up going into that land and they killed the Canaanites. They dispossessed them out of that land. And I think that when we look at the circumstances of our condition in this country, for those of us who have not been sullied to a certain extent, and I mean no disrespect to the Christian religion, but to be Christ-like is to understand the history of Christ. He was a Jew, king of the Jews, as a matter of fact, and that's who our descendants are. So when we look at that and compare it to what's happening in America today, the privilege associated with Europeans is because we are the conquered, and they have taken the right to do with this land as they see fit because it's their judicial system. It's their monetary system, it's their government, essentially, what you were talking about, what happened on January 6th, I believe the date is. So all of that, my question to you and to our family, WALK family, which is a very educated family, is what is the role of black people who have been named by the conquerors black, who have no sense of identity? Their associations are all based on white understanding, white miseducation. What is the role for us in order to extricate ourselves from this mentality, since that is so pervasive in this country? That's my first question. I hope I can have a follow-up, but go ahead.
That's a very good question, and I want to say, first of all, Jesus never called himself the King of the Jews. Other people did that. And second of all, I think the Jews tell the story of what happened, and the victors are always telling the story in their favor. So I take issue with killing anybody anytime in history. Let me just be clear about that. So I have plenty to say about that in some other setting. But your question is more pressing than trying to argue about the theological stuff, because that could take a whole lifetime. We people of African descent really need to deal with how we've been traumatized by what has happened, what our history is. And we have to work on trying to reestablish ourselves to our root system. That's why I love Marcus Garvey's notion that we should be connected to Africa because of the land, that we need to be connected to land someplace where things were different. We need to work on naming the wounding and being together and trying to figure out what the pathway is to healing. It's complicated, and it's not simple, and we've not done a very good job of that, and we need to do a better job.
Well, my follow-up and final question would then be, when we look at this system, when all the holidays are patterned after white folks, when all of the system, the monetary system, is European, when every aspect of media is controlled, and we saw even in this last election how powerful the media is, that it affected the entire election, then what level of control in this country where we don't control the water, the heating, we don't control our own food, when we control nothing, what level of control as people do you see us garnering from people who are selfish, arrogant, and single-minded about their supremacy and domination of the world itself? And I'll leave you with that question.
So, yeah, it's Gideon. Is that's right?
Yes,
that's correct.
Right.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Dear brother, we can decide how much power we want to have and how much we want to be together. I believe. Everything you've said is absolutely true, but you don't have to give your power away. And I think we could be far more powerful than we have been. I think that when better healing comes to us as a people, we can do far more than we've ever done. We actually did better some of those times before we thought we were liberated than we're doing now. And so I think that we need to recover some of our capacity to do better. I think our imagination, as somebody has written a book called Holy Imagination, and I think our imagination is phenomenal. So I have every bit of hope that we can do better. You know, I don't know about how many different systems we can change and do all that. I mean, I don't know what the particular journey forward is, but I really do every day get up in the mornings believing that we can do better. We can support each other better. We can be more empowered together. And we've got a lot of work to do before we exhaust our own capacities.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Gideon. Have a great one. Stay healthy, stay connected, stay on point. We will continue this conversation. Callers, I've got you coming. Dr. Catherine Meeks, Executive Director of Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing. More to come when we return right here on News and Talk, 1380 WALK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK on this great afternoon. Our special guest, Dr. Catherine Meeks, who is Executive Director of the Absalon Jones Center for Racial Healing. Our topic for today, what is white privilege and how does it affect our health? We're continuing to take calls from our listeners. Let's go now to Amina. Hi, Amina. Welcome to the conversation. Hi, Les.
Yes. Good afternoon, family. How are you?
We're great, family. How are you?
I'm good. Let me just say, first of all, I think this discussion with entitling it white privilege is doing more harm to black esteem than actually debunking this myth about white supremacy. I'm a 50-year-old dark-skinned black man. I have experienced racism throughout my life, few and far in between. However, much of these discussions we're having and the examples we're giving are not racism. They are just situations of people's personal, uncomfortable interpretation of the environment. And I'm going to give you an example I'm talking about. I work in a type of business where I do installations. Many of the places I go are predominantly white people in North Georgia, especially some of these restaurants. You'd be surprised how many times I've walked in with my dark skin and the white people that are eating look at me. They just look at me and then they continue about their business. All the years I've been in business, not one white person has used the N-word, spit at me, looked at me up and down. They see a dark-skinned person, which is someone they're not used to in their area, and they go about their business. That's not racism. That's just seeing a situation that you're not accustomed to. But I've experienced the reverse. I've been in situations where majority black people, a white person walks in, and black people look at that white person, because we're not used to white people being in this area, and we go about our business. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because we need to focus more on us. We have issues within our community. And the more we focus on white people and what white people are doing and what people are feeling about us, how we feel around them, that disempowers us. That weakens us. That stops us from reaching our heights as a people. And Todd said something. He asked Dr. Meeks a question, and I was waiting for the answer, which was, can you give an example of what you're talking about, white privilege? And of course, Dr. Meeks, you couldn't give him a concrete example. The reason you couldn't is because that's a subjective matter. If I walk into a restaurant right now and half of the restaurant are black millionaires and billionaires like Oprah Winfrey or Michael Jordan, they're all eating there. The other half are white people that are making under $100,000. They're all eating. If I was to sit there and look at them, what white privilege would I be seeing in this environment? I wouldn't be seeing anything. And, you know, it really frustrates me because we are a people that are capable of doing great things, but we spend so much time talking about white people. I have yet to be on to hear a white radio station spend a half hour, an hour, talking about how black existence is affecting their lives. Now, then they talk about an individual black person, maybe mention our shopping or what then they call race hustlers in their. But they don't focus and they're not obsessed with black people and talk about it on radio stations. They go about their lives or they run and stuff.
Well, do you have a question?
Do you have a question?
I have a question. My question is, when are we going as a people? When are we going to have leadership, advisors, and people that tell us to focus on us? Stop the crime in our community. Stop the self-hatred. The more black people love themselves, the less we will focus on white hatred of us or our perception of it. We dislike each other.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We do so much dysfunctional things to each other. Now, you could say, yeah, because we live in a white society, but then the solution to be what Gideon talked about. We need to talk about forming our own independent nation then. If that's the case.
Okay, well, hold a moment. Let me get a doctor to respond to you. Go right ahead, doctor.
So a couple of things. I agree with you that we need to be proactive, and we certainly do need to do a lot of healing work in our communities. There is no argument about that. But there is also, all of the things we've been talking about this morning are part of reality. And whether we talk about it or not, it still exists and impacts us and affects a lot of things. And so talking about the historical underpinnings of this country does not create it. We're talking about what has happened, what is. We cannot camp out at those places. I agree with you about that. But I also want to make it clear that I'm talking about systems and not an individual here and there or your experience or my experience. Our experiences are important to us as individuals, but collectively, there's some things we have to think about. Systemically, there's some things we have to think about. And I have been this morning talking about those systems and how those systems have come into being. Individually, there are a lot of white people who don't fall into the category of wanting to be superior and denigrate other people. Systemically, there's a system that's very much constructed to do that. So one of the big mistakes we make as black folks and white folks and brown folks is not to differentiate between individual prejudice or lack thereof and systemically organized things that are designed to denigrate, marginalize, and keep people oppressed. So that's one piece. I believe from the bottom of my heart that we in the black community have the capacity to do so many more things than we are doing, and that we need to get busy doing it. I agree with you completely about that, that we need to step up to the plate. And as we're stepping up to the plate, we understand we're stepping up to the plate with this history that is a part of us, but with the present ability to do all kinds of things. And we don't know what the future will be if we will be courageous enough to do that. So I appreciate your observations.
Thank you so very much. Stay healthy. You had another question, Lance? All right, he's gone. Now let's go to Robert.
Okay.
Hi, Robert. Hello, Robert. Are you here?
Yes. How y'all doing?
Okay, good.
Good. How are you?
All right. I just wanted to add some balance. I think this is the cuckoo call-in hour. I mean, I just have listened to the last couple of callers, and one guy say he expects the doctor to be able to tell whether someone is sincere in thinking they have white privilege or they pretending. And after she says to him, clearly, nobody can do that, he says that he knows that they were not. People with that ability would not be like me wasting their time calling into a talk show. If they could get into a person's mind, hundreds of people's mind, hundreds of rioters' minds, and determine which individual really does believe he has white privilege and distinguish those from the whites who... they're just pretending. And now here's a guy called in after that, and he says, oh, I do installs in North Georgia, and I've never been called the N-word. Let me add something. To your face, But I remember when Jose Williams, I marched with Jose Williams to go up into the North Georgia he's talking about. That's so domiciled towards blacks. Because blacks had to be out of Forsyth County by sundown.
Yeah.
This gentleman evidently was not living in this country at the time when we had to do that. If he was, or he has studied the history of what Forsyth County, which is North Georgia, which he alluded to, then is it his frame of mind that hundreds of people marched up there just to pretend that these people were racist and they were running us out of town? And I just want to tell the doctor, I appreciate her elevating, appreciate showing her elevation in terms of intellect above these last callers who just seem to have an opportunity to get real information, and they've chosen it to downplay what actually history itself says.
Robert, if I could interrupt you, I would just say that, you know, all of us try to get through the world as best we can and we have to make sense out of the world we have to live in. And I try to be appreciative of how people have tried to construct reality so it makes sense for them, so they can live. This place called the United States is dangerous for black people. And if you are conscious, you know that. You know, I have two sons, and my sons are out traveling today. And I was just saying to a friend this morning, I don't feel as comfortable when they're out traveling as I do when they're at home. And there's a reason for that. You know, and so I just want to say a word here for myself as a person who tries to be a compassionate truth teller. I want to tell the truth, but I also want people to understand that I know that we're all trying to figure out how to live here as best we can. So, you know, I do believe that when a black person tells me I live in this country and racism isn't a problem for me, I'm very curious about, you know, where do you live? Because I don't quite know how that's possible, really, you know, to be here and have not to have to encounter that stuff. But also know that folks really are trying to do the best they can to make it through a world that's really problematic.
Yeah, well,
thank you very much for your explanation. And that, again, I want to extend to you the deepest level of respect for being able to articulate that to them and as well as myself, that what your position is. But do understand that everyone out here listening today is not of the opinion that racism doesn't exist and white privilege doesn't exist, and we are not of the opinion that we can look at a person and determine whether or not they are pretending to love me or pretending to hate me, or they sincerely love me or sincerely hate me.
We hear you loud and
thank
clear.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your affirmation, too.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back with more. Lou, Kenny, I've got you coming up right here, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. You're listening to WAOK's number one talk show. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes right here, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Dr. Catherine Meeks sharing with us today, and thank you so much, Dr. Meeks, for extending your time with us today. Yeah. We certainly appreciate you, dear.
It's a delight. I really enjoy being here, and I just really, as I said in the beginning, appreciate the way you do this show, and it's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Let's go back to our phone lines. I've got Lou holding. Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to On Point. Hey,
good afternoon, Wanda, and good afternoon to your guests. I guess my question is, as I've heard the white privilege and the white supremacy, all that kind of stuff, and earlier on you tied it into capitalism, and I guess my question is what do you see at your vision of what you would like, let's say, 10 years from now or 20 years from now? Because what really motivates a lot of us is not that our country's not going to be white anymore or anything like that. It has to do, for example, with a quote from Boris Yeltsin, who became a president of Russia right after the Soviet Union. He was elected to office in the parliament in 1989, and he came to Houston. And he went to the Space Center, and then he went to a Randall's grocery store. And this is what he wrote in his autobiography. When I saw those shelves crammed with hundreds, thousands of cans, cartons, and goods of every possible sort, for the first time I felt quite frankly sick with despair for the Soviet people. That's what he wrote, because he realized communism doesn't result in any kind of quality of life for the people. It is an oppressive. That is an oppressive. You had the leadership. You have Putin right now in Russia, one of the richest people in the world, worth tens of billions of dollars, and the people don't live that way. I know people that actually came over from the Soviet Union. I met some people in the summer of 1990 who had come over. They were in my husband's office looking around. We took them to a grocery store. I saw that same amazement. But they never had that. And that's the real issue. It actually comes down to an oppressive Marxist government. You can call it fascism, socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it, versus our constitutional government, which I believe a lot of this white privilege stuff is tied into. Let's destroy the concept of having a constitutional government. Let's destroy having a capitalist government, and let's move on to an American Marxism type government, which I find oppressive. And when I look, for example, at January 6th, okay, you had, I've heard estimates of 500,000 to 1 million people that went and listened to that speech. There were, 500 have been arrested, and they should be arrested, they should be charged. I think they're being held in solitary confinement too long, but that's a different issue. I think people that rioted and broke things should be charged. I'll be quite clear about that. But there were, let's say, 500,000, 1 million people that were there. What happened that day is you had Bank of America, you had Airbnb, you had airlines, you had all this kind of stuff turning data over to a central government, which is now using that to target political opponents. I think that was the real reason behind these hearings today, that we had yesterday, the January 6th hearings. If you look at it in the realm of healthcare, we have coronavirus. You've had our Surgeon General that's serving right now saying that they will work with the tech companies to eliminate any discussion of vaccines that they don't deem true. We can't even discuss it anymore without the government saying, no, 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 no. We're going to block it. We're going to work with the tech companies and block it. And that is the danger that I see now.
Excuse me for a second. Are you trying to ask me a question?
I'm just wondering, what is your vision? Because what I see the people in Washington right now as bringing in the oppression that you always say you're against, but I see that form of government. We have the government now spying on people, blocking people from free speech.
Ma'am, what is your question?
Lou, what is your question? Ask your question.
What do you envision? If you want to get rid of capitalism and our constitutional republic, what do you envision, and why would that not be oppressive? That's
okay,
my question.
So first of all, let me be clear. I don't think I have said any time in this entire time that I have been speaking that I want to get rid of any of that. What I want to get rid of is racism. What I want to get rid of is people anywhere thinking that somebody is better than somebody else. What I want to be a proponent for is an understanding that there is one God in the universe that has made us all, and we deserve to be here together and live as best we can, using the resources that God has provided for us. I'm not sure what the government ought to look like. I don't agree with a whole bunch of stuff that's going on that the government does either. But that's not what I'm talking about today. That's got not really, I mean, it is borne out in many ways by some of the things I'm talking about. But my work is really about healing and really about trying to get people to understand that at the end of the day, we're all human beings that have been put on this earth for some reason. And our biggest job is to try to find out what that is and try to figure out how to live here in peace. That's my vision. That's my vision. That is what I've worked for the last 50 years and will work for until I die and would hope to see happen on this planet.
Dr. Catherine Meeks will be back with more callers right here on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well is on point with Wanda Lynn Stokes right here on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Kenny, welcome to the conversation. You've got a real good example of white privilege?
Oh, yes, I do. No, this is Kenny.
Okay. Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Okay. All right, Kenny.
I'm going
to
hit
to you. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm going to hit it real quick and get on out your way. there are 200 million white people in America. There are 50 million black people. White people in America operate from the point knowing that this is a mostly white country. It's like the bully. The bully operates better when the numbers are on their side. Now, the poorest white person in America have white privilege. I'm going to give you two examples. The poorest white person in America never had to ride on the back of the bus at any time. For 200 years in America, it was against the law for black people to read. The poorest white person in America was never denied a chance to read. A poor, homeless white person will get the benefit of the doubt from a white police officer before a black person will. Now, just being white in America, you have a privilege. Now, I'm going to close with this point. If you look at Kenya, Kenya is 90% black. They don't have a problem with white supremacy in Kenya because whites are greatly outnumbered. The whites in Kenya know they cannot act a fool like the whites in America. But if you look at Britain, France, Canada, those are mostly white countries. And that's where you're mainly going to see white supremacy. White supremacy operates best when the numbers are on their side. Show me a country that has white supremacy, and I will show you a country that probably is going to be mostly white. So that's my comment.
All right, thanks for your comment. Let me get Dr. Meeks to respond.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's the majority, you know, of the majority has the people who managed to make the rules. They made the rules, and that when they came here in the beginning in the 15th century, they were not the majority, but they came with weapons and things to do to undermine the native people that they found here. So you can use power and numbers and capacity in those ways. But the gentleman is correct that there is that sense of we outnumber the folks. But part of the fear in the 21st century is that figure is getting challenged by the fact that they're Latinx people. And, I mean, white folks are not going to be the majority in this country in a few more years, and they know that, and that's what the statistics are telling us. And so that's a part of, I think, why we see so much extra effort to make sure to stay in control.
That's good. Thanks, Kenny, for calling. Let's go to David. Hi, David. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Ms. Lewis. How you doing? And Dr. V, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, great. I want to, I've been hearing, some of the callers and whatnot, but I want to say, given the example of white privilege that I've used, but before I say it, I want to say that white privilege also tries to change the subject from a black issue of facing racism to something like change the government, which I didn't hear anybody say. If anything, it was the government protecting racism and whatnot. And why we didn't want to do capitalism, we wanted to make sure we paid as black people before we were paid. And that's when I would want to talk about my clear example of racism, because I was one of the only black carpenters on the team in Fayetteville, Georgia, that we were framing and building houses. And then I know the little guy came on, and he was just a young, regular white guy, and just a helper. And then now, not really even a carpenter or a framer, just a person that may pass the wood. But then during our lunch, because all of them, some of them got along with me, we talked, and I found out he was making more than me. So then they determined that for a raise, because everybody knew I was one of the hardest workers. So when I talked to the white young white guy about me getting a raise, he told me, to be honest with me, he would never pay a black man the same thing that he is a white man. And that if he gave me a raise, he was going to get everybody a raise, but he's just also going to make sure the white person got a dollar more. But that's like automatically 10% more to come on the institutional side. I guess that's why we would never get fair insurance rate, the same thing. So just something I can tell you that people told in my face. And I was glad that Marshall Jose would in Forsyth County. But thanks for making that comment. And that guy's still living. So, I mean, he's still going off on that racist white privilege, thing that he promised me that he would never do. When Okay, but thanks a lot for making my... Let me make a comment. I'll be glad to be listening to you.
Thank you, David. Go right ahead, Dr. Meeks.
I was just going to say, in kind of affirmation of what you're saying, the inequities are just numerous, and you don't really have to look too hard to find them across the board in terms of economics and health and education and everything. And it's just, it would behoove us to pay attention to the realities rather than trying to make them into something else. And so, I know that in the day-to-day struggle, this stuff is so hard until people really do have to just try to figure out what kind of way they can get through life without being made completely crazy.
Exactly, exactly. I want to ask you, Dr. Meeks, in closing, what is your message to African-American community? What is your message to people as a whole?
Yeah, I think about this so much because I think that we are phenomenal people. When you think about being jerked up from your home and brought your homeland and brought to a strange land and treated the way we've been treated, and yet here we are thriving, that's a phenomenal people. And I think we need to reconnect that at a deeper level. I think we've got to pay attention to what the wounding has been and pay attention to how we are allowing that wounding trauma to mess us up and work to overcome it. That's why I'm so focused on healing. You never will hear me talk about reconciliation. I always talk about healing because we've got to do the healing work. So I want to see African Americans love each other better, drop some of the projections that we've learned from the master narrations about us, and really try to begin to look at each other as if we really are connected and kin to one another, and to be on each other's side in ways that we sometimes have forgotten how to be. And I just think that the more we stand against negativity and separation and jealousy and all that stuff that comes into the conversation, the more we stand against it and really try to work toward building communities among ourselves of strength and positiveness, that the better off we'll be.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Catherine Meeks, for sharing with us today and staying over a little bit longer than you planned to. But we appreciate you being willing to talk with our audience. How can people find out or give us the address or location of your Center for Racial Healing?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been really great to have this conversation with your audience and with you. Our website is centerforracialhealing.org, and people can go there and visit our lovely website. People can make donations to us there, see our programs that we have. We have lots of wonderful programs, and we have a YouTube channel that's Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing, and you can go there and see past programs. And we are located across the street at 807 Atlanta Student Movement Boulevard, across the street from the Atlanta University Consortium. So if people want to visit us, they are so welcome to come and visit. We have a monument on our property naming all of the people who have been lynched in the state of Georgia, and we would love for people to come and visit that and pay respect to our sisters and brothers who were taken from us in that horrible way. So, and we are so thankful for anybody who shows up in our space and anybody who wants to work toward making the world a better place.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so very much. There are a lot of programs that are offered there. Make sure you take the time out and go by, visit, support, donate, be a part, get involved, learn, grow. Thank you so much, Dr. Catherine Meeks. We love you so much and appreciate you. And we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thank you. And you take good care and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Meeks. Love you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Have a great
one.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. I've got to just give you just a few updates on a few food recalls. I've got to let you know what's happening so you make sure you get rid of it out of your pantries. We'll talk about that and more before we go. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes for News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.